EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Jen is our guest tonight, calling from North Carolina, and Jen will be starting with her UFO sightings, and then she will be sharing a tragic account of her sister and the possible use of black magic over her, and the events that led to her death. Jen is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Jen, and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from North Carolina.
Yes, that's correct.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, Jen, you have some UFO and paranormal experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yes. I'll start with the UFO sighting. I've had 2, actually. And they happened in the same area, which was a highway that I used to drive because my fiance worked out in the rural community. And this community, right after 10 p.m., you would barely see any cars. Like, you wouldn't see anything in the highway. It would be pitch black. And I was just driving down the road, and all I saw was a big ball of light coming from the side of the highway. And this ball of light was almost at the same speed of my car. And I just looked at it, but I was not trying to look at it because I was still driving and I didn't want to get too distracted. I thought it was an airplane or a helicopter or something, but it was just odd because it was so low and I had never seen an airplane or other type of aircraft just fly that low. So it was like right above some trees. Because on the side of the highway, all there is are trees. So I head to my fiance's job to pick him up. And I tell him about it. By this time, it's already like 11:30 p.m. And we get back on that same highway because we have to get home. And when we get on it, I'm telling him about it. And out of nowhere, that same ball of light comes the same side leg of the car. And it's doing the same thing, like it's traveling with the car at the same speed. And I tell him, look at it. Do you see that? Do you see what I'm seeing? And he's like, yeah, I see that. And we were trying to record it. And as soon as he told me, I'm gonna record it, it was almost like it hurt us or something, because it just like disappeared. Like all you saw it was this red light, like just go out, and then it was just gone. Like we didn't see it move forward or backwards. It was like it just disappeared, like in thin air. And I was like, oh my God, did you see that? And he was like, yeah, I saw that too. And we were kind of laughing about it because we just thought we were seeing things, or I don't know, we were not really understanding what we were seeing. So a couple months went by and the same thing happened a different night. We saw that same type of light, and this time it was a smaller light in the middle and several other circular lights around it. And it wasn't like big as an airplane, but it wasn't as small as a helicopter. And the shape was weird. So I told him the same thing. This time he was in the car already. And we were heading back home, and it was the same time, like 11:30. And I told him, look, is that the same thing we saw? And he's like, no, that's something different, but that's not a helicopter. That's not an airplane. I was like, that doesn't look like an airplane. It sort of did the same thing. Like it just hovered almost over some trees as we were driving by. And then it moved forward with like the speed that the car was driving, and then it just disappeared. Like it almost looked like it went out and just disappeared. Like you don't see it, nothing else. And it was just weird. Like the feeling inside the car was weird. Like the radio was like buzzing a little bit, like if the signal was going in and out. So those two sightings, or I don't know what they were, but those 2 days were really weird.
So the first time you saw the border light, that also was running parallel with your car?
Yeah, like it was side by side. Like it was keeping up with the car almost.
How far away from your car would you have said it was? Was it on the passenger side or the driver's side?
So I was driving and it was on the passenger side.
And how far would you have said it was from your car?
It wasn't that far, because highway is just one long road, basically. And on the sides of this highway, it's just trees. So if the trees from the highway are not that far, probably like 10, 15, 20 feet. Like it's not that far.
Okay. So from the trees and the road, would there have been, is there like grass in between that area?
No, it's just like the railings of the highway, the trees. And that was it in the road.
Okay. All right. So yeah, it was pretty close then. And the second time that night you saw it, it behaved the same way?
Yeah, like it just hovered. Like it was like keeping up with the car, but like staying like almost at a still pace, because you didn't see it move, but it was keeping up with the car.
And it was both on the same stretch of the highway?
Yeah, it was on the same stretch of the highway, because it just happened in that highway when we were heading to his job and when we were coming back. Like those were the only 2 times we both saw the same thing at the same time, and we just couldn't believe what we were seeing.
And this is a route you travel quite often?
Well, it was only for his job. So now he doesn't work there anymore, so we don't really go there as often as we used to. But when he did, yeah, we would go, you know, all week.
Okay, and along that route, is it just predominantly trees?
Yeah, it's just trees and then exits to the road, but the towns surrounding that highway are very rural. So even when you get off of the highway, it's still pitch black, like there's barely any streetlights or anything.
So very rural, so yeah, so there wouldn't be many buildings.
Yeah, like there aren't really many buildings.
And this is in North Carolina?
Yeah.
And you said there was a funny atmosphere in the car.
Yeah, like you felt weird. Like you felt something weird. Like when you looked at it, you knew it wasn't an airplane. Like, you felt a weird energy or something because the radio started buzzing. And we usually just play the radio. And it started buzzing when all this stuff was happening. We were looking at this and we kept saying, do you see that? And we were like, yeah, I see that. And then that's when the radio would start buzzing and I was like, what's going on?
What color were the balls of light?
Red. It was a red and yellow tint. And the color of, you really couldn't tell if there was even a color on it. That was the thing, that you would mainly see the light, the balls of light, but you would see like if they were on something.
And was the light illuminating any part of your car or the surrounding area of the trees?
I couldn't tell because the trees were up high. Like, I didn't honestly didn't look at the top of the trees because we were trying to look what that light was attached to.
And of course, you're trying to watch where you're going as well.
Yeah, you're trying to drive and not crash. So it's like we were just in shock because it did the same thing. Both of the times we saw it, it kind of hovered and then it just disappeared.
And then the third time you saw it, it looked a little bit different?
Yeah, it had. The first time we saw just one light. The second time we saw one light in the middle and tiny lights around it.
But the third time you saw it, it didn't follow the car?
Mm-mm. It just stayed there.
It just stayed there.
Like, we just saw it from a distance. Like, literally, oh my God, is that the same thing? And we just saw it. And as soon as we said, is that the same thing? And we always try to record it, take a picture, it like disappears.
And have you ever heard of any other reports in that area of something very similar?
Yeah, like, you know, other people in Facebook groups or things like that from local areas. Or, you know, just friends or neighbors talk about seeing things out in the country. But, you know, I don't live out in the rural community. I live in, I guess, a city. So where I live, there are buildings and a lot of streetlights and everything. So it was just when we went out there that I would see everything pitch black at night because, you know, the town was so small, there was barely people out there.
Yeah, you certainly see some strange things out in the rural communities.
Yeah, so that's why it was so weird because I had never seen that, like where I live. Out in the city, I had never seen something like that.
And did it scare you at all?
It was an eerie feeling. Like, it was kind of scary because you couldn't tell what it was. And the part that kind of like made me feel weird was the fact that it was keeping up with the car, like side by side.
You know, I've had a few guests on in the past that have reported something very, you know, things very similar, whether it's the light has been following them or it's been driving up the side of them. So they seem to be, whatever these balls of light are, they seem very interested in people driving up and down.
Yeah, and it's almost like they can hear you. That was the part that would freak us out because every time we try to record it or take a picture and we try to get our phone on the camera, it would disappear.
It would disappear.
Mm-hmm. We would be like, where did it go? And it was gone. You didn't see the light no more.
Doesn't want to be filmed.
Yeah, so that was the part I was like, that's not an airplane or a helicopter. That's something weird because it's like it hurt us.
Yeah, I wouldn't think a helicopter or plane would be flying that low so close to the freeway and especially trees.
Yeah, because it was literally above the trees and it was just there, like keeping up with the car. And we both saw it because I kept asking my fiance, like, do you see that? And he said, yeah, I see it. Like, we just looked at each other.
It's always good to have someone to witness it with you.
Yeah, because people don't believe you. Like, they'll think you're, like, trying to something out. And it's, no, I know I saw that.
It's usually the way, you know, if they haven't seen anything themselves, you know, it's hard for people to kind of accept it. And especially if you haven't got video evidence, you know, because that's what people want these days. They want pictures, they want video to believe you. But unfortunately, it's just not the way.
Yeah, and that's the part that's scary because I think a lot of people see things, and because you can't take a picture of it because they disappear, you're like just stuck with that memory.
That's wonderful, Jen. Would you like to move on to your paranormal experiences, please?
Yes. So one story I'd like to share with you is one that was recent. So just like a brief history about me, I've experienced a lot of paranormal things in my life. From I can remember from 5 years old until now as an adult. I'm going to be 26. And yeah, all of my life I've seen, have no real explanation. But this story that I'm going to share is about my sister. I grew up with my sister. We were 3 years apart. And it all started in 2009. So in 2009, my sister met a guy at a party that she went to. At the time, she was a teenager. She was in high school. And she went with a group of friends to this party, and she met this person. My mom was very upset that she went to this party. So when she got home, they were going to have a big fight, and my sister didn't want to argue with her. So instead of coming home, she decided to go with this guy that she met at this party, because I guess she just felt like it was better to do that than to argue with my mom. So she left with this guy, and we were looking for her. We called the police because we couldn't find her. And like a couple days later, she called us and came back home and said, "Hey, I'm with my boyfriend. Don't worry, I'm gonna come home. I'm fine." So my mom and my dad, you know, they felt some relief because she checked up on that with us, and we were just happy to have heard back from her. So she came back home and she just said that she was with her boyfriend, which at the time was kind of weird to me because she would always tell me everything and she never told me about a boyfriend. So that's why I knew something weird was going on already. And that's when I told her, you know, after she came and settled in and my parents were around, I asked them, like, "What boyfriend are you talking about? Like, I didn't know you had a boyfriend." And she was like, "Yeah, he's not really my boyfriend. Like, I think he's going to be my boyfriend, but I met him at this party. And yeah, we just started talking. So he tells me he likes me. I don't really like him like that, but, you know, I'm talking to him." So I was like, "Okay, whatever, you know." That was her thing, you know. She liked to hang out with friends, and it wasn't weird for her to say that to me. So a little bit of, like, weeks go by, and she tells my mom that this boyfriend wants to come over to the house because he wants to ask for permission to, you know, start visiting her, and, you know, they can go on dates and things like that. So my mom is like, "Okay, you can tell him to come over." He brings his mom with him and his older brother, and they come with him supposedly, you know, to vouch for him, to say that he's a good person, et cetera, et cetera. And at the time, my sister was 16, and he said, and his family said, that he was 18. So, you know, my parents were like, "Okay, he's not that much older. Like, it's fine." They, you know, they'd rather them date with them knowing instead of her, like, running off them. So months went by, and, you know, they were dating. He would come over the house, and things just started to get a little weird. He started to get manipulative. He started to really control her life. She was still in high school, and he just started, like, really taking control over her. Like, she just became a different person. And then she got pregnant. She decided to run away with him again. And she ran away with him. But this time, she came back a couple days later because she called my mom crying, saying that she didn't feel good, that something bad happened to her, that she didn't know what was happening to her, that she just didn't feel good, and that she needed to come back home. So we came and picked her up, and she didn't really tell us what happened, but she just said she didn't feel good. So later on, a couple years later, we found out that she had lost a baby that night. And the reason why she lost that baby was because this guy that she met placed a hex on her the night that she lost this baby. His family helped him. His family helped create some hex, some concoction, and they put it in the food that they cooked for her. And when she ate that food, she lost the child. And this baby was going to be her first son. And when she lost this baby, she was telling him, like, you know, what's going on with her body. Like, she's in pain and, you know, she's not feeling good. And he's just very nonchalant about it. He doesn't seek medical attention. He just, you know, tells her to, you know, get over it. It's normal. It's just your regular period. You're fine. But, no. Like, from that day on is when a demon was basically attached to her. And that demon was placed by him. Because the type of work that they did on her, or witchcraft they did on her, was where they created some sort of doll. Like, I guess, like a voodoo doll. And they buried it in a different country, in a graveyard. And what this would make her do is fall madly in love with him and do anything that he says, like just become submissive, just do anything that he said. And she was not that type of person. She was not the type of person that would let someone disrespect her or treat her any type of way that wasn't right. And he did all of that. He treated her really bad. They had two kids. You know, years went by. And eventually there were some problems that happened and he had to get sent to Mexico. When he was sent to Mexico, he was still able to control her. He would still ask for all her money. He would still just control her life. Like, she would have to take him to the grocery, take him on the phone. She would have to call him when she would go to the grocery store, and he would have to be on the phone to listen for shopping or be on video call, because he was just that controlling. Like, he didn't want her to talk to anybody, not even us, her family, her parents, nobody. And he got this way because we would always tell her to leave him. I'd tell her, like, why are you with him? Why do you let him treat you that way? Like, it's not right. He was physically abusive. He was abusive towards her, towards their kids. And she could just never leave him. Like, it was almost like she was crazy about him, but crazy in a sense that she was literally, like, losing her mind. And 2021 came around, which was last year. And that's when he convinced her to go visit him, to leave here and to go to Mexico by herself, to not take the kids because he said COVID, and he didn't want the kids to get sick. So he told her that she needed to go and she didn't really want to go, but he had no choice. Like, he gave her some sort of ultimatum that if she didn't go, something was going to happen. What that something was, we don't know because she never told us. We just assume, because she would never leave her kids for anything. She would take her kids everywhere she went. And for her to go to another country and visit their dad, like, why wouldn't she take them? And yeah, COVID was happening at the time, but it was getting to the point where it was manageable almost. And, you know, people were still very precautious, and she was a nurse. So as a nurse, she knew the precautions she had to take. And she was a very precautious person. Like, she was never sick. She was just not that type of person. She had a full-time job. She worked at a doctor's office. Like, she had a life outside of him. He just controlled it still, because he would know the time she would go on lunch. he would call her in specific times so that she wouldn't communicate with coworkers. He would call her all throughout the day so she wouldn't be able to communicate with us. And if she didn't answer him, it would be a whole other fight of insults, of him calling her whatever he wants. It was just a constant thing. And he would just say, just block him, change your number. Like, don't listen to him. And it was almost like she physically couldn't. So she went by herself. And that's when things turned really dark. The day that she told my mom that she's going, she told her like a week before she was going to leave because she knew that we were going to be opposed to her going by herself. And the day that she told her, she sort of like, hey, I'm going to leave my kids with you because you're the person I trust, and whatever you do or whatever happens to me, don't let my kids go with their dad. And don't let my kids go with anybody else. They need to stay with you and my dad. She avoided me that whole week that she was getting ready to leave because she knew I would have done anything I could to convince her to not leave. And the day that she left early in the morning, like 5 a.m. She didn't even say goodbye to my mom to look at her because it was like she couldn't. She couldn't even say bye to my mom. She just left and said bye to her when she was getting ready to go in the car. And it was like, we knew she was never going to come back. Because, you know, the moment my mom told her, well, the moment my sister told my mom, I'm going to go and I'm not going to take the kids, my mom said that she felt like death, that all she felt was death, that something bad was going to happen. And she told her, I don't want you to go because something horrible is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something bad is going to happen. And I know how that man is. We've seen how angry he could get. We would see how he would treat her. And we just didn't trust him. And her being with him in another country by herself was very scary. And that's why my mom didn't want her to go. She was like, no, it's fine. I'll be back. But, you know, just in case I don't come back, I want you to have, like, take care of my kids. I want you to be the one responsible for them. I don't want nobody else. So she left. The day she got there, she called my mom, told her she got there, that everything was fine, that she was already with him, and they were getting ready to go into the hotel, and they met in an island. They didn't meet in the exact place that he told her he lived at. He traveled to this island to meet her there, and she landed. She told my mom she was settled in. A couple of days went by, and that's when that's the last day that she spoke to my mom. 3 days after she got there, she called my mom early in the morning, and she said, hey, please send $400. I am really, really sick, and it's a life or death situation. She sent the money, and then it was him calling her. Like, my mom asked her, like, what's going on? Like, what do you need money for? And she said, I'm sick. I don't know what's wrong. I just feel really sick. I need to go to the doctor. And they're charging a lot of money. And my mom was like, okay. So she sent the money. And the very next day is when he started calling my mom with my sister's phone. So you would my sister's number, but it would be him on the other line. And he would start asking her for more money, saying, oh, she's getting worse, she's getting more sick, we're gonna have to take her to the hospital. Like, I had to find a doctor that was a worker here in the hotel. The hotel had a doctor here, and he came to the room and he said that she has COVID, that she needs an x-ray. My mom talked to the supposed doctor, And this doctor told her, yeah, your daughter is really sick. She's not getting well. We're giving her IV fluid because she can't keep anything down. And if you really love your daughter, then you're going to send $2,000 right now. You're going to send $1,000 the next day. Every day, it was a constant amount of money they would request. And when it got to a point that my mom was like, I don't have any money. I don't have nothing else to give you. Like, you're telling me this, this, and that. But I don't see any pictures of my daughter. I don't see any videos. I don't even get to hear her voice. I don't talk to her, nothing. And they would say, well, it's because she can't talk. She's sick. So it was always excuses.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
But as the calls went on, we tried to start investigating on our own on our end because we're not from that country. We don't know anybody from that country. And we try to contact the authorities. The authorities didn't want to do anything because they said that she wasn't a citizen from that country. The authorities here didn't want to do anything because they said she traveled willingly over there and that she was with her husband. So why were we worried? So it was constant people we tried to call and talk to help us, and nobody did. And it was always the same excuse. She's with her husband. She's fine. She's with her husband. He has rights of her health. And she's sick, and he can decide what to do, et cetera, et cetera. So we would ask him for receipts, for medication, for doctor's appointments. He said they didn't have receipts there, which was a lie. So we talked. My mom talked to this doctor that supposedly came to the hotel room to visit her. And he tells her, yeah, if you love your daughter, you're going to send this money. I know you guys have cars. I know you guys have a business. You can sell it. You know you can sell it. You can go to the bank and ask for money. And it was always a constant, if you love your daughter, you're going to send money. So at that point, we felt like it was a kidnapping. And my mom even told her husband. She said, this sounds like a kidnapping. This feels very fishy to me. This feels very weird. And he was like, how could you think that? That's my wife. Like, oh, I would never hurt her. That's the mother of my children. I love her, et cetera, et cetera. He would tell her weird things throughout the day. He would constantly call her too. He would start calling her every hour, every 30 minutes, all day long from 8 a.m. until 1, 2, 3 in the morning. You just had to turn the phone off or block him because he would call constantly. And then he would start saying, you need to start praying at 3 a.m. You need to start praying at 2 a.m. You need to fast. You don't need to eat this day. Like, just weird stuff. And nothing was making sense. And at that point, her employer got worried because she was supposed to come back a certain date. And then I start telling them what's going on. And, you know, they're doctors and nurses and stuff. And they're like, yeah, that they wouldn't directly tell me that's not COVID, but they would always say that's weird. Like, that's not normal for that to happen, or that's not something common that happens with that. So, like, 2 weeks went by. one day he just asked my mom, her husband, what would you do if your daughter died? Or what would you do if I told you your daughter died? And my mom said, what do you mean? Like, what type of question is that? Like, why are you asking me that? And he was like, well, I just want to know, like, what would you think? Or, like, what would you say if I told you your daughter died? And she said, well, I would blame you. I would think that you did something to her because you were the last person that she was with. And you were the person that she went to go see. And he was like, you always think that about me. I would never hurt her and all this stuff. And then, like, 3 days later after that, he called her and told her that she died. Before that day that they called her and told us that she died, I got to see her through video camera. They called me through the application WhatsApp. And that was the only form of communication they wanted to use, WhatsApp. And a video called me one day just randomly, and they said, this is the doctor that's with her. She's in the hospital. But the way that the video started was weird because this doctor was walking outside because he had the camera angle faced up. It was facing him, but it was faced up as he was walking, and I could see the sky. And I just heard a loud noise of a door, and it got dark, and then it just got really bright. And that's when I saw my sister on this hospital bed. I saw two nurses that were around her. And this doctor just put the camera on towards her, facing her. And he was like, talk to your sister. You got 5 minutes. And I talked to her, and I was like trying to ask her things like, are you okay? Are you in the hospital? You're going to be safe? And she looked at me in the camera, like she turned her head when she heard my voice, but her eyes were like really big and glazed, and she was just shaking. Like her head was just shaking from side to side. She was saying no. And I would just keep trying to tell her, you know, you're going to be okay. You're sick. You need to trust them. They say you got COVID. And she just kept shaking her head no. And she would just start mumbling his name a lot. She would just start mumbling and mumbling his name. And I would try to get an answer out of her. I would say, you're going to be fine. Are you okay? And she would just shake her head no. And then that's when a nurse came by beside her because she was trying to talk. Like she was moving her mouth like she was trying to say something. And that's when they're like, oh, she said she was to talk to her husband, and they just hanged up the call. And that was the last time I saw her. And then he called us and said that she died. The way that I found out is that my mom called me crying hysterically, and like I couldn't even understand what she was saying. And I just had a feeling in my gut that it was about her. So I call him and I'm saying, why is my mom crying? Like, what's wrong? What happened? And he just tells me, like, all normal. Your sister's dead. I already called your mom and dad and told them she died. And I was like, what? But I just talked to the nurses and doctors, and they said she was fine. I just saw her. And he was like, well, she's dead. There's nothing else. And he hung up on me. The day that she died, like 3 hours later, he was calling us saying that we had to decide to do her body because she was starting to sink. If we wanted the body transported over here, we had to pay $30,000. And if not, they were going to send ashes because they weren't going to bury her over there. Because that's what we wanted, for her to get buried over there. And they said no, that she would get cremated. And he cremated her the very next day. And we kept telling him not to do it, and he did it. We told him we wanted to see her body before she was cremated. He didn't do it. We told him we wanted to see her after she passed. And he video chatted us because all my family was there. My mom, my dad, me, and other people were there. And he video chatted us, and he put a camera like inside a box that was glass, like her face was inside what looked like a coffin, and it was glass over it. And all you saw was the little square of for the face. And you couldn't even tell if it was her face because he just moved the camera so fast. And all you saw was like a bruised face. And then he started screaming, saying that we couldn't record what he was showing us. And he ended the call. And that was him supposedly proving to us that it was her. They sent Asher from California when they sent Asher like a week and a half later. And the death certificate was very weird. It mentioned that she passed from heart attack, but they told me it was COVID. And then later on, we started digging more stuff because we knew it wasn't COVID. We knew something else happened. Because the authorities didn't want to help us, we went into the spiritual world. We started digging in through other forms of communication. So I contacted a psychic and a medium and people from different backgrounds, different walks of life in the spiritual world that they lead. And all of these different people told us the same thing, that it wasn't COVID, that it was him. That the day that he met her, he said, that's going to be my goal of mine. Because the day that he met her, he was already 23. He wasn't 18. We found out he was his age when she had her second child with him. And by that time, she was already like 21. And when we found out, we were like, how are you this old when you told us you were this old when you met her? And he just kind of brushed it off. But essentially what we found out is that this man has always had an evil plan for my sister. He never saw her as a partner, as his wife, as anything. It was always a transaction. And the only reason he could control her and the only way he could control her was by placing this hex on her. And this man also came from a family that did this stuff. He was raised by a man that could turn into an animal at night. He was just raised around the really dark things. And essentially, we never really found out how she passed. But we were told that she didn't even pass the day that he told her she passed. She passed months later. Because what he did with her remains are speculated that were sold, are speculated that he was involved in a ritualistic drug cartel. Because there are organizations that exist like that, and I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know people worked with cells and things like this to hurt people, and it really ruin people's lives. And I would always not really believe in witchcraft or really believe in the power it held. I would hear about it growing up, you know, people's different stories, but I had never seen it firsthand. And when I witnessed it with my sister, it's true. It is very true that that type of evil exists. He ended her, and now his plan is to still end with anything that has any attachment of her, because he just has this hate in his heart that it almost doesn't stop, and he only works with evil things, with evil spirits, with demons, with things that really can take over your mind and body if you're not mentally prepared or spiritually prepared. We've had to protect ourselves spiritually and physically because he has no stopping. And I have no doubt in my mind that he is capable to do anything. If he did it to his wife, he's capable to do anything. So yeah, that's my story.
First of all, I'm really sorry about your sister.
Thank you.
And it's so recent, you know, it didn't happen that long ago.
Yeah, it's very recent.
How are the kids now?
They're with my parents. They're safe. They, of course, you know, are very sad and depressed most of the day. But, you know, kids are smart. They know that something bad happened to their mom, and it wasn't what they were trying to make us believe.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the good thing is, you know, they're safe. They're away from him, and he sounds like a complete piece of work. And of course, because it's cross-border, it would probably be extremely difficult to have any form of police intervention.
Yeah.
And you and your mother, have you completely cut ties with him altogether?
Well, at the time, he still has to communicate with the kids because, you know, the whole legal side of it with their custody, apparently he still has rights. Even if he's not here. So my parents are working through that. So because of that, he still calls them probably like once a month, once every 2 months. So it's not constant communication, but they still communicate, but it's not beneficial for them. Like, he doesn't call them like a loving father, like, oh, worried about how they're doing. No, he calls them to try to find out what my parents are doing.
Your parents have full custody?
Yeah, so right now they do. They're just working on getting it permanently so that they can cut ties completely with him.
Yeah, the best way, I think. Your sister had never mentioned anything that he, you know, that he may have been involved in this witchcraft.
Yeah, I mean, she would mention it to us. She did say one time, well, she had several things she would say. Like, she actually didn't get along with his family. And it was because of that, because she would say that she knew that they practiced this witchcraft and that they did bad things with this, caused one of their own family members to lose their mind, like literally lose their mind. They lost everything. This guy, her husband, would call her while he was over there, and he would say things like, my bed was lifted last night, or I saw my uncle turn into a pig. Like, it was very weird stuff.
Yeah, of course, because brujería is still widely practiced in Latin America and Mexico, because I think that's where it originates from.
Yeah, like, it's very heavy, apparently, in the area he was raised in. And yeah, people can turn into animals, people can astral project. Like, it's a lot of things that, if you never experienced it or see it or even hear about it, you would never even think it existed, you know?
That's right. Yeah, but it does. It's the same in Southeast Asia. I've never been in Mexico, sort of South America, but I've spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. And their black magic over there is called Mutelu. And before I went over, mm-hmm. I didn't think it was a thing. Too much, you know, I thought it was maybe in the past, but it's very much widely used, because over in Southeast Asia, they have, you know, they have the living and the dead, and they pretty much go hand in hand. They're very, very spiritual. They have deep connections with, you know, the past and the ancestors and all that. But black magic is very highly used, and it's used by people every day, whether it's, you know, whether it's for love, wealth, jobs. It's used by actors as well. Actors literally fly from abroad to go over there and meet a practitioner of Mutelu for more success. So it's still widely used. And it's, you know, if you didn't realize what you were looking at, you wouldn't even realize it's there.
Definitely. Like, it has been one of the craziest things I've experienced, because it almost doesn't sound real. Like, the events that just happened back to back were crazy, and it happening to us was just the weirdest part, because, you know, we don't do nothing, we don't get involved with people, we don't like problems, and it just happened right in front of us.
Sure. But you were no stranger to paranormal activity. You'd had some experiences when you were younger as well. Is that right, Jen?
Yes, I've experienced some crazy things. If you want me to share, I can share something that happened to me as a child.
Yes, sure. Only if you're comfortable doing it. That's no problem.
Okay. I was about 8 years old when my dad had a workshop he was working on a sewing machine because that's part of what he does. He was sewing some fabric together. And I was right behind him at a table. He had like a back room and there was a table. And I had coloring stuff and whatever, all this other stuff I was playing with. And it was like later in the afternoon. It was almost 8 p.m., I'd say, because we were the last people on that shopping center where his workshop was located in. And all of a sudden, the light cut off of the building. It just go completely off. And I run towards the front where my dad is sitting, and I tell him, oh my God, the lights went off. There wasn't raining outside. There wasn't any wind. Nothing was happening outside. And when the lights came back on, all you heard was a loud, demonic voice say, get the F out of here. And it just yelled it so loud. It echoed through the workshop. And you just felt this chill go up your spine. And it was so deep and raspy. Like, the voice was, like, so deep and raspy. And it said it clearly, like, get the F out of here. And my dad replied back. And he was like, no, this is my space. And the lights then go off again. And then I'm crying because I'm like, I know I heard that. And I'm telling him, like, did you hear that? Like, what is going on? Like, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. Let's go. And he's like, okay, we're about to leave. But you don't need to be scared, because if you get scared, you're giving them more power. So ever since then, anything paranormal that has happened to me after that, I've always tried to stand my ground.
Would you say you were a spiritual person?
Well, yes. Like, growing up, I was raised in the church. I was raised Catholic. It was when I became a teenager that I decided to stop going to church, because I started reading more. I started reading outside of what the church taught. I started reading what the church really meant, what was behind the Vatican, what was behind the Pope, what was behind everything. And, you know, reading some conspiracy theories, but, you know, I feel like a lot of conspiracy theories have facts in them. So that's really what made me stop going to church. But I have always believed in God, and I still stand by that.
I didn't really personally grow up in a religious family, but I've always believed that there is an energy, not necessarily a guy with a beard and sat in a big chair, just more of a universal energy. And I don't believe that universal energy can be housed in a building. So that's the kind of problem I have with religion. I feel man as a whole is very easily corrupted. So I don't necessarily believe in organized religion in that respect.
Yeah, and that's sort of like my concept too. That kind of made me stop going to church, because that's sort of where my mind is at as well. Like, I don't think it's a guy necessarily with a beard, like it's been described, and all of the other stories that fall behind it. I do believe it is an energy too, and I do believe that that's what created everything. Yeah, like, once you start learning things on your own, you just start almost like opening a different type of realm into your own personal life.
That is true. Of course, when you start looking at conspiracies, you know, it can overwhelm you. And some, you know, the more you learn, the more you kind of look at the world differently. And it's not always in a good way. But I think it's okay to learn, and it's okay to know, as long as you mix that in with personal development as well. As long as you keep your head about you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I say that from experience.
Yeah, definitely. Like, but, you know, I guess it's from my own personal experience, you know? Other people may have different experiences and they don't believe that way or think that way. But from my own personal experience, I know that a lot of religions, not just what I was raised in, have a different truth behind them.
I agree. Jen, you did wonderful.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. It was definitely, and today is actually a unique day because today is the 1 year anniversary for my sister. So I don't know, I wanted to do something to commemorate her.
I understand. And, you know, it's very recent now, but over time things are healed and she's at peace now.
Yes, thank you. I believe that too. She's no longer fighting the demons she had to fight.
Wonderful. Okay. Jen, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and listening. I definitely appreciate it.
And I'm glad you were happy to tell your sister's story.
Yes, me too. I feel like she was silent forcibly, and I want to be able to tell her story.
You did a great job, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem. Okay. Keep listening, all right? And keep in contact. I will talk to you soon, Jen, all right?
All right. Thank you.
No problem. Enjoy the rest of your evening, okay?
You as well.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Jen for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.